You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Key, J., what is going on in the NBA? Good Lord. Every day, every night, someone's going for 50-plus. Now it's 60. It's insane.
Different out there, man. I told you, he's the Picasso of the NBA.
Listen, I've been saying for several years now, he is maybe the most skillful player
who ever lived. He's not maybe.
Yeah, well, listen, when I said it originally, no one else was, I didn't hear, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, it's like, is it accepted? Is he the most skilled player ever?
I don't know if you're talking to basketball people. I mean, I've been the one since his freshman year in college saying this dude, I watched Kyrie since St. Patrick's High School in New Jersey with Kevin Boyle when they were one of the top teams in the nation. And I said, this dude is something so different. The game hasn't seen what his package is. And last night was a prime example. Part-time, a quarter of the time, it's the time when he's on the court that is special to watch. Because last night was different.
It got to be boring to a degree because you knew exactly what he was able to do and dominate how he was able to dominate the Magic. And I guess when you have that argument about most skillful and all those sort of things, everybody's interpretations are different, right, Jay? But clearly, he's in that conversation, if not at the top of that conversation.
But Key, he does things like, you know, when we came in this morning, Max was like, man, like it was, what was your wording you
it
used
was,
for?
It was like, I've seen spectacular Kyrie jaw-dropping. Mm-hmm. This was like, especially early in the game, just kind of textbook Kyrie. Textbook was written by Kobe Bryant and guys like Allen Iverson and guys like that, but it was still like coming off a screen, hitting a three, coming off a screen, hitting a three. Just kind of easy, a layup, you know, in traffic, you know, but nothing that made me go, oh my God, that's the greatest Kyrie move. It was just kind of typical moves.
Well, see, Kyrie's textbook is calligraphy, though. it's different. And I can get for your eye, Max. Mm-hmm. Right, like, oh, it looks textbook, but he does things like, prime example. So when he comes off a pick and roll, right, for the most part, the big is dropped back. My man throws the ball out in front of him. Like, guards don't do this. You're taught to keep the ball close to yourself. You see guys that make, like, sharp, like Chris Paul, right, always keeps the ball tight to himself, like close to his body. Kyrie throws the ball out there, and if you start seeing it, Key, when he throws the ball out there, he starts dazzling his feet from side to side. And you see the big being like, what the hell? Like, where are you going? Because it gives him the ability to change angles. And he can stop. He can then hit you with the layup package, which I've heard you mention, Max, multiple times, is a detail within itself that should be a breakdown for Kobe Bryant's detail show. Mm. Because the ball is literally hitting a foot above where the box is. And the way the ball needs to drop directly into the rim, the ball doesn't hit the rim on his layup package.
It's insane.
Think about that. The ball does not try to go outside and just lay the ball in traffic and not make the ball hit the rim.
Do you think, Jay, some of the time away from basketball in training and doing some of the things and having the time to have fresh legs is contributing to some of what we're seeing recently with Kyrie?
Sure, Key. I hear the argument about fresh legs, but it doesn't matter if you have fresh legs, tired legs or not, to do what he's doing, and it's how he does it.
That's what I mean. I mean, away from the team, working on his own stuff, doing his own things, coming off of screens, coming off of different things. When he's doing that isolated by himself, now he can translate that to the floor with the team.
Yeah, when a guy plays barely the amount of games, I'm not sure how many games he's played. I need to look it up. But to take that amount of time off basketball, for anybody that says, oh, he has fresh legs, I'm like, I hear you. But when I take a day off playing basketball, like, it feels off. To take time off after missing a game to drop 60 as efficiently as he dropped 60 last night, knowing that he could have gone for 75, 80, That's the mind-boggling thing. There's no argument that anybody can make to me about, well, he has time off and his legs are fresh.
Well, no, it could still it could still help him, but that's not the main point.
This is precision.
But it's not even.
That's the thing.
This is precision.
It is what Jay just said. His precision is so ridiculous. You know what it reminds me of? The way I saw. I used to see this, and Key, you'll remember who I'm talking about. Steve Garvey back in the day would want it by the end of the season. He'd always have 200 hits for the Dodgers first baseman. He wanted a certain amount of hits to left field, center field, right field. He tried to distribute it, right? Like Bernard King would try to hit certain shot from here, here, and here. By the end of the day, he knew he'd have his 30. It was like Kyrie was like, here, I'm going to come off the screen and hit the three. Then as the game progressed, here's the layup package. Then as the game progressed, now I'm going to take some mid-ranges from the right side, from the left side. He was putting on a clinic, but it wasn't – when I say textbook, it was like for all the razzle-dazzle, a lot of it was just his shots go in. It's like the precision of the skill. It's so on point. And that's from just doing it a billion,
It looks even better, Jay, because of all the backlash that he's received throughout this time, and he just continues to keep balling, so it even looks better because of that.
Well, Key, he shot 70% from the field last night.
He went for
60 and dropped 70% from the field. Shot 67% from the three-point line.
Do you remember him missing one-third of his shots? Because I don't.
And got taken out. Jeez, drink more coffee, Jay. Taken out with 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Like, think about that first. And people could say, oh, it was against the Orlando match. Yo, you all right, go out and drop 60 in your everyday league throughout the weekend. Like, you try to go out and drop 60 against somebody randomly, Key. You ain't doing it. Not at 70% from the field.
It was 64-5, I think, from the field is what I'm being told. But
20 of 31, right?
21 of 31
would be under 67. 65%. But the point is, two out of every three shots, basically. I don't remember one out of every three missed.
Right, I'm like you, OJ.
90%.
Hey, if it's 65, it's 70.
Yeah,
same thing.
It's running me off by 5%.
It's two out of three. Two out of three shots. That's ridiculous.
I always say that. Hey, man, round up. Don't round down.
By the way, like Kobe.
You should have worked 50% from the field for most of their shots being from the three-point line are contested. That's incredible.
When Kobe went for 81, they needed all those points to win. Kyrie, to me, had he been in the type of game where they needed all the points to win, maybe he could have gotten 80-something because he is the type of player in a close game to hit clutch shots. They take him out because they're up so much with almost 8 minutes left, whatever it is. You know, it's ridiculous to keep him in. But like, he could have easily gone for 80-something last night.
Man, it just feels like there's Steph, Dame, the incredible guards in this league. We talked about this yesterday. Just Kyrie Irving is 101. It's the same way I look at Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid, but this dude, from a guard perspective, I've never seen anything like it before. Because it's the combination of the dribble package, the layup package, the degree of difficulty with shot package, right? And his floor spacing is just...
And how about the fact that here's something people don't talk about with Kyrie enough. He's one of the all-time great shooters from anywhere. The shot falls, right? Like, we see Westbrook struggling now because the shot doesn't fall. Kyrie is a pure shooter.
Key, last thing I'll say on it, you know how they teach bigs, right? One thing they do in basketball, when bigs get rebounds, like, stop bringing the ball down.
Bring it down.
Yeah,
keep it up.
You rake on their hands, right?
Yeah.
Because ball's part of hand. You see Kyrie for his, I think it's the 4-3 he made. He caught in the corner from a swing pass from KD. And I want to go out and try this at home. Let somebody hit you with the pass. It's natural inclination to dip the ball to get your rhythm to go back up. He keeps the ball right in front of his face. Catches the ball in front of his face, right into his shot. And it's like that. That within itself, the degree of difficulty is so hard to do. Go try that at home. Guarantee you won't be able to do it.
I'm trying to think of Kyrie as who and who had a baby. I want to say Kobe and AI, but he shoots
better.
It's almost
AI and Rod Strickland.
But he shoots
Strickland
better.
Is.
Yeah, Strickland's crazy, but he shoots better. Kyrie sent a message to the rest of the NBA last night while someone in Kyrie's former home city sent a message to his fan base.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're on your smart speaker. Say, play ESPN. You can download the podcast. We're on ESPN, too. You want to watch us on TV. Yesterday, the Cleveland Browns met with Deshaun Watson to see if he would waive his no-trade clause to come home to Cleveland. So, last night, Baker Mayfield's like, let's see, who's better, me or Deshaun Watson? So, if he's coming here, I guess... Last night, Baker Mayfield wrote this message to the city of Cleveland on social media, and I quote, "The past 4 years have been nothing short of truly life-changing since I heard my name called in the draft to go to Cleveland. This is not a message with hidden meaning. This is strictly to thank the city of Cleveland for embracing my family and me. We've made many memories and shared growing in this process through all the ups and downs. I have no clue what happens next, which is the meaning behind the silence I have had during the duration of this process. I can only control what I can, which is trusting in God's plan throughout this process. I've given this franchise everything I have. That is something I've always done at every stage and at every level, and that will not change wherever I take my next snap. Whatever happens, I just want to say thank you to the fans who truly embraced who I am and the mentality that aligns so well with the city's hardworking people. Cleveland will always be a part of Emily and my story, and we will always be thankful for the impact it has had and will have in our lives. Sincerely, Baker Reagan Mayfield." I didn't know his middle name. Look at that. He's apparently named after a president. Key, what's your reaction to the statement from Baker?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really have any statement, a reaction to his statement. It's more about why are you even right now even paying attention to what is going on? This is the NFL. This is sports. They're going to take a look at other options if they think that you're not the answer going forward. But if I'm Baker Mayfield, I hope and I pray that you don't get the opportunity to get a Deshaun Watson and it falls flat on your face. Because guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to come crawling. And unless you got a contingency plan to move on regardless, move on from me, I'm going to make it hell for you if I'm Baker Mayfield. Oh, yeah. It's all guns blazing, man. It's going down.
But see,
it really, truly is.
If I'm Andrew Berry, okay, please come out guns blazing. Make it hell for me. Like, that would be a great problem for me to have. If that motivates you to come out and have an incredible season, if that deal doesn't go down.
No, it's not even about having an incredible season. It's about what you just showed me. You just showed me publicly that I'm not good enough for you. You literally, Jay, walked out the restaurant with two of them side by side. When I'm standing there in line, you just walk right past me because I'm not good enough. That's what he did.
It's kind of like Michael Jordan's available in the draft and you already have Clyde Drexler. Clyde, no offense, you're an all-star and everything. We're going to draft Michael Jordan.
Yes.
They didn't do that. That was a mistake.
Yeah, but what if you don't get Deshaun Watson, though? You got to come back. Oh, well, we were just checking
gotta take
and
your shot,
at
though.
It.
But you got to take your shot.
Take your shot. But if you don't land me, I'm going – Max, Key. I'm going to make it hell.
Jay, you know what I just realized Key is doing? It's his form of germ spreading. Key is kind of rooting for this not to work out because he wants to see it all blow up. Look at him. He's like, ooh, if this doesn't work. Yeah, you got to take a shot, but what if it doesn't work?
But Key, I'm curious, like, from your opinion, like, what does it mean to you, make my life like hell? What does that mean if you're Baker Mayfield? Like, if I'm going to make you – you couldn't get him, so now I'm going to make you pay for it. What does that mean?
Well, it means, one, that I'm going to go and I'm – if I'm still with you, let's assume – I'm still with you. You don't move on to another player that you got your eyes on at the quarterback spot. Now I'm gonna make it so bad. I'm gonna ball out. I'm gonna do all of the things that I need to do. Plus, I ain't speaking to you. We ain't gonna have no real conversation. None. Zero. And I don't care what you call me. You call me petty, immature, spoil, brat, diva, whatever you want to call me. When I step on the white between the white lines, I'm gonna ball out. When I leave that building, don't call me. I ain't got nothing for you. There's nothing to talk about.
Okay, I'm cool. If you want to ball out, ball out. If that's helping us win games, then great.
You know what reminds me of? Evan, our producer, may remember the
name
of
this player. Make you uncomfortable, Jay.
There was a player for the Mets. He was an outfielder. The Mets signed. He's a good outfielder, but he was, you know, past his prime. He was the end of his career, and he couldn't hit at all anymore. And he had a houseboat in New York. He lived on the houseboat. Was it Derek Bell? I don't want to say, you know, but I think it might have been. So at a certain point, he was like, you know, if they continue to do this, I forgot they weren't hitting him in the lineup, but they were hitting him. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to shut it down. And I remember thinking to myself, shut it down. It was Derek Bell, right? Was it Evan?
Yeah, it was Derek Bell.
It was Derek Bell, yeah. And I remember, and he was a good outfielder for a while, but everyone comes to the end of their careers. I remember thinking to myself, shut it down. How would we be able to tell the difference? You're hitting a .180 or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like what? So I understand what Jay means in a sense, Key. Like, if what you're saying is you lit a fire under him, great. You get more production from Baker. If he's just not going to do it and be unproductive, well, if he was more productive, you wouldn't be talking to Deshaun in the first place.
Yeah, but when you start to mess with somebody's emotions that you still have to deal with, Max, on a daily basis, that is not productive at all from a front office standpoint. You are openly – think about what I'm saying now, Max. You got to follow me here. Mm-hmm. You are openly flirting with someone in my face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm supposed to be your girl.
Yep. She's fine, though. All right, listen. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Jake Trotter, ESPN NFL Nation Cleveland Browns reporter on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Listen to this.
I wouldn't say at this point that the bridge has been burned, but it certainly is on fire right now. And I think the most likely scenario is that the Browns don't get Deshaun Watson, and they're going to have to try to either repair things with Baker Mayfield, or they're going to have to trade him and try to get another quarterback. And that market is dwindling pretty fast here. I mean, you've got, you know, let's see, Jimmy Garoppolo, you've got Gardner Minshew, maybe Matt Ryan if the Falcons land Deshaun Watson.
I mean, the bridge is on fire.
you're gonna have to make up with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Or go after Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan's better than Baker, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo better than Baker?
No.
I think he is, but it's debatable. I get it. I'll take Jimmy G, but I think Baker's actually a little underrated. I think Baker's pretty good.
A healthy Baker, I want a healthy Baker.
Yeah, me too. So you try and patch it up with him. And by the way, it shouldn't be so hard to explain to him. It's Deshaun Watson. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Did I mention that already? Jake mentioned the Falcons as an option for Deshaun. Is that the best option? Key ranks the best options for Deshaun Watson. Next, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
What you got, Key? Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets. Play along with us. Filling out brackets with ESPN is free and easy. The ESPN Tournament Challenge is presented by WebEx. We are closing in on 4 million brackets. So go to the app and join the KJM group to play along with us. So as I was saying, the latest team to join the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes yesterday was the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons join the Panthers, Saints, and Browns as teams that have met with or are interested in trading for Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. So without further ado, Key, rank them in order. Best landing spots for Deshaun.
Number five for me, Max, is the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at them, you say, well, they got Jalen Hurts in the mix. Yes, they do. But they have what we like to call picks, and a lot of them. They got 3 first-round picks in this draft. This is immediate for the Houston Texans to rebuild their organization. If they make that decision and he waives his no-trade clause and wants to go to Philadelphia, they can get a haul back for him. Not only those 3 picks in this year's draft, but other compensation, including Hurts as well.
Number 4.
The Carolina Panthers at number 4. Christian McCaffrey, the 6th overall pick from the Carolina Panthers, on top of some other stuff to rebuild the Carolina Panthers. You could start off, if you're the Houston Texans, if he waives that no trade clause and he wants to go to Carolina, you get a lot back in return for Deshaun Watson. I don't think Carolina's ready right now to make a strong push in the NFC with or without Deshaun.
Number 3.
The Atlanta Falcons at number 3. There's a lot here, right? They have now emerged as a team that is very, very interested in, even though they have Matt Ryan at quarterback, they also have the 8th pick in the draft, which could be pretty good for the Houston Texans to rebuild their organization. Maybe you get Matt Ryan back in return. You certainly clear Deshaun Watson off your books. You start something totally new in the organization.
Number two,
the hot button topic of all, the Cleveland Browns. Think about this. The Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield, he put out a statement yesterday. Didn't seem like he was pretty happy with the Cleveland Browns meeting with Deshaun Watson. They can get Baker Mayfield, the 13th pick in this year's draft, and a bunch of other stuff in future picks, assets, you name it, to get one of the top young quarterbacks in the National Football League. Not a bad move for Cleveland. Not a bad move. Pay attention.
Number 1.
The number one move, and I know many people will say, oh, it's nepotism. You just want your nephew to shine again. Yes, I do. And he needs a damn quarterback. And that quarterback would be Deshaun Watson. Deshaun should go to New Orleans as my number one favorite. They got the 18th pick. They've got to come up with some other type of packages to get him in New Orleans. New Orleans is a city that would embrace him, put their arms around him, forgive him for some of the things that he has had to face here recently. That is just the New Orleans Saints and the organization, the culture of Louisiana, all of those sort of things. The 18th pick, a bunch of other stuff in return, and that offense will get rolling again with Deshaun.
Key's Real Rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. So it's Saints 1, Browns 2, Falcons 3, Panthers 4, Eagles 5.
I got to tell you, as a football fan, I would love to see Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. Just knowing what their run game is, knowing that they got Amari Cooper, understanding what that division would be with Lamar Jackson, Joe Thurow, then you bring in Deshaun Watson, and then Mitchell Trubisky as the Pittsburgh Steelers
quarterback.
I like
the Trubisky's move yesterday. Less now.
I didn't like it from the beginning, but I'm glad you're finally coming on board.
Well, in this division right now, I think it's a strong move. They didn't have to give up much. They're competitive. But if the Cleveland Browns get Deshaun, and it's Deshaun,
Lamar,
and Joe Thurow, you're at a disadvantage at the quarterback spot. Like, you got some work to do. But at any rate, that is, you know, what's interesting to me here is Atlanta in the mix, Key, right in the middle of your rankings, right? Owner Arthur Blank has talked about eventually finding Matt Ryan's successor and resetting the franchise's future. He said all options are open, but it's not going to be easy, a Falcon source said in regards to a potential Watson trade. And also, they have Matt Ryan on the books.
Like, yeah, it's a lot of money, though, man. You got a lot of money, a lot of moving pieces and parts. You certainly want to kick the tires on the Deshaun Watson situation if you're the Atlanta Falcons. There's no question about it. I just don't see it as a true landing destination. Although, if it's Atlanta and all the things that Deshaun has gone through, he's from the Atlanta, Georgia area. So you got to think that the comfort level is there for him. I think when you look into the city of Atlanta, they've embraced the black quarterback before in Michael Vick. They understand certain cultures. You know, it's a forgiving type city. I didn't say state. I'm talking about the city of Atlanta. I think it would be huge for him and the Falcons. I just don't know that I see it happening because there's better football choices for him that's out there, like the Cleveland Browns or the New Orleans Saints, in my opinion.
And that's my thing. That's what I asked yesterday when we were having our call about this. If I get the city aspect of it, but this is also about having a chance to win games and the personnel that you have around you. So if you're looking at that for Atlanta, you're saying, okay, he's going to Atlanta for what? Like, Calvin Ridley's not going to play for a year. Gage just got, you know, went to a different team. So who are you going there to rock with? Whereas you look at all these other choices, even if that's New Orleans, you're like, oh, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. You're looking at, you know, Cleveland. You're like, oh, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Amari Cooper. Like
one thing about Deshaun, though, is given his age, there's runway. So if you really like the situation, you like the ownership, you like the city. The main thing is the quarterback, right? And if he's 40, that's one thing. He's 27. So the question for me really is the dead cap situation in Atlanta. They have $20 million, I think, in dead cap, and that's high up. But I know teams that carry at least to my – tell me if – maybe I'm way off here, Key. Maybe you know offhand. But aren't there teams that sometimes have $40, $45 million in dead cap? Like, you could add Matt Ryan to what they already have, figure some other stuff out. The main thing is when there's a fish this big out there and you can reel it in, you do that first and worry about the details later.
You're not going to carry, though, and tie up, call it eight, just for conversation stakes, $75
million. Not 75, no.
Huh?
Not 75, no.
No, you're not going to in a position. Now, that's just two players at that position, not including the backup, not including the practice squad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might have four quarterbacks tying up $80 million. You're just not going to do it. You can't have both of them on the same team. You got to kind of pick and choose. Atlanta's a good situation. Don't get me wrong. I just think Cleveland is a better situation.
Football-wise, as well as
the New Orleans Saints, football-wise and culturally in New Orleans is a little bit different than a lot of other places.
Jay, you see what he just did? He said Nolans. Like, you're really trying to reel him in for your nephew, boy. He's like, yeah, I just think culturally plus football-wise, Nolans.
Think about a month ago what I told you.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints are swinging for the fences. When we were coming out with the mock drafts and, oh, they could take a quarter, I said no. No, they're swinging for the fences. They're trying to get a home run that's
real
sitting
question.
Around.
Real question. Jay, I start with you. Do you think Sean Payton not being there anymore dulls that a little bit? Like if
probably.
Probably to a degree.
I mean, a legendary head coach like that is no longer part of the organization. It probably makes you look at it a tad bit differently.
You think, Keith?
Well, it does, but at the same time, I think Dennis Allen, second time around, sat on the sideline for several years as a defensive coordinator. Pete Carmichael is the offensive play caller, offensive coordinator who's done it before. I think you don't miss. You're going to have the same game plans for the most part. You're not going to miss a whole lot except the experience of a longtime head coach, Super Bowl winning head coach in Sean Payton. I think, though, with the Deshaun Watson, you talent-wise, he going to make a whole lot of things change for you.
Oh, I agree.
Tom Brady came out of retirement. Why can't Sean Payton?
With Sean Payton, though, it makes it it's not even a question.
Right.
There's no question.
You have to sell me on why I need to be part of New Orleans.
Sean Payton.
Because I still give Kevin Stefanski
the advantage. Let's go back to Cleveland for a second. What would be so interesting to me about that is think of the greatest quarterback divisions of all time, right? Now, Russell Wilson going to the Broncos, you start to look at that like, huh, it's not the same as if Aaron Rodgers went there, but it's pretty damn good with Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr. You're like, that is a hellified quarterback division. If Deshaun Watson went to Cleveland, you're starting to get that in the AFC North with Burrow and Lamar Jackson and bringing up the rear.
But we already kind of had that a year ago. With Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow and being
– Yeah, but Ben is at the end, man.
But he still was 11-game win Ben in a row.
Okay, let me ask you this, Key.
You know,
I'll put
it was
that
still
to,
Ben. Ben is still going to the Hall of Fame.
Let's put it to the test. Trubisky this year versus Roethlisberger last year, is that an upgrade? Trubisky, this upcoming season?
I think it could be a slight upgrade.
I think it'll be one of those a game or two upgrades. Okay, but that's still an upgrade. Deshaun Watson or Baker Mayfield? Wouldn't Deshaun be an upgrade?
Significantly.
So that means it's a better quarterback division.
I just look like this, Max.
That's a better quarterback division then. And then you got Burrow coming off a Super Bowl run.
We're going to talk to Mike about this, but remember, Mike said this like a couple weeks ago. When you're the Browns and you look at Baker Mayfield and the rest of the quarterbacks in your division, you have to evaluate based on that. Mm-hmm. And the Browns would go from having maybe the third best quarterback, maybe the fourth best quarterback in the division, to having arguably the best. It changes everything within the division.
Our conversation isn't whether or not Deshaun makes the Browns better. There's no question.
It's why the Browns should go even further into the Deshaun. Like, whatever it takes,
him. And they absolutely should. We said it about Deshaun. We said it about Russell Wilson. We said it about Aaron Rodgers. The only difference with Aaron Rodgers, he was never going anywhere, and we didn't think that Russell Wilson would want to go to Cleveland when these conversations were coming up over Baker Mayfield. The problem that the Cleveland Browns are now facing is what if they can't get a deal done? Now, there's a lot of things that happen in these deals, as you know, Max and Jay, with agents. Agents sometimes understand the desperation of teams and organizations that want to try to acquire their talent. So what do? They want to drive up prices. All of a sudden, they want to put the screws to an organization to acquire their player. So it's all sorts of things that got to be sorted out to make this thing happen. The problem that the Cleveland Browns face, though, is if it does not happen, you have a quarterback that is on your roster that you are going to pay close to $20 million for this year. You have now alienated him. Clearly, by his message he sent last night, his feelings are now involved.
Yeah, well, I mean, his feelings might have to be involved. Like, you got still, you're like,
you
there's no way
no,
around.
You have
it.
No this sympathy is, for anyone. Well,
no, it's not that. It's that Deshaun's available. You got to go. You got to look. You
this is collateral damage that you have to deal with, and this is a byproduct of the business of the sport. Yeah. You have a chance to go with the top five quarterback in Deshaun Watson. Hey, like, we have a chance to win a Super Bowl. You've been in question about whether you can lead this team to a Super Bowl. We're going to go for Deshaun Watson. If it doesn't work out with Deshaun Watson, okay. You're our second option. We have to make do with our best second option.
CJ, but you sitting up there telling this whole bold-faced, poker-faced lie. You know damn well if somebody told you you're the second option, you would like that.
Depends if I got my money, Key.
But he ain't got his money.
But I have to play. So, I'm looking at this whole thing. If you're Andrew Berry and you're saying, as you know, Baker Mayfield, okay, I'm going to stick it to you. Great.
Stick it to me.
Yeah. Play the best of your ability because I know that's going to motivate you. By the way,
but
the
what
history
if,
of
but
who
what
you
if?
Are, Baker Mayfield, you've always been motivated this way.
What if this doesn't motivate him, though? And all
then
of a
I got my answer about who he is.
But you also got a bad season on your hands, too.
I understand, but I can't be worried about your season.
Tell me Case Keenum for a full season.
No, you said when you step between the lines, you still perform. You're just not going to, like, listen, the front office would deal with him.
That's what I hoped that he would do. But you know how mentally fragile certain people can be in certain situations.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's on his mind. He sent out a tweet or an email or whatever it was.
I think Baker is pretty mentally strong, yes. And I think Baker is a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, see,
and
I don't know that he's mentally strong. See, I don't know that.
I know. I don't know that.
I've talked to him a million times, but I don't know that based on you sending out information about how you feel about the team in the city before just because they had a conversation with somebody.
Well, I think that's he not sees mentally the writing on the wall, man.
I also don't think Baker Mayfield would just dip out on his teammates. I think he will always play for his teammates.
It's not, but it's not about playing for your teammates, right, Jay and Max? It's about, can I do the things I need to do and stay concentrating on the best things that help us opposed to being non-focused and screwing things up, even though I'm trying my hardest.
Got to be a professional, man. It's got to be
easier
a professional.
Easier said than done, Jay, man.
I hear you, baby, but we talk about it every single day. Got to be
Mike
a pro.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider with us now. He is giving you the straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So, Mike, reaction to Baker Mayfield's statement. Was it too short and too slow?
Jeez.
That's what Mike said about Baker.
Just the facts. Look, if we're running the Cleveland Browns and we're going to go beat with Deshaun Watson, we have to expect this reaction. Baker Mayfield is just someone that's sensitive and he's easily aggrieved, right? And we know that running the Cleveland Browns. We're there every day. So if we're going to go meet with Deshaun Watson, we've really made the decision, like, I'd be surprised if he was back at this point, because once you open up those can of worms, to me, it's hard to get the genie back in the bottle. So to me, they've clearly made a decision that, hey, we're going to try to upgrade Baker Mayfield, which I think is a smart decision, because we've talked about this a lot, guys. Like, pick the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. This guy is 8th to 10th in the AFC. So to me, they've made a decision, and what Baker Mayfield did is just pretty much like what he's done in the past. He's going to emote publicly.
If you can't get Watson, and then you're in a way kind of saying, okay, Baker, this is what it is. What are your other options? What do you do? How do you handle that?
Oh, I'm drafting his replacement. I'm going to maybe try trade for Jimmy G, who's in the AFC. Jimmy G's in the NFC. And I'm going to look as much as I can, because I can't win a championship with Baker Mayfield. Let's just call it what it is. The Cincinnati Bengals have surpassed the Cleveland Browns. The Baltimore Ravens are ahead of the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns are not, and they know that. They've made a lot of great decisions. I think they're a really well-run organization. I think they have a really good foundation. I see the Browns and the Colts really very similarly. I think they have good rosters. I think they're well-run, and they both need quarterbacks.
Yeah, when you look at the quarterback situation, and if they, for some reason, don't get Deshaun in, there's other options out there. But it's Jimmy G. Come on, Mike. A healthy Jimmy G versus a healthy Baker Mayfield that's been in the system for 3 years now. Is that an upgrade, or is that just we're going to bring a guy in to tread water for now?
You know, Key, that's a fair point. I would take, if we were running a franchise, I think Jimmy G in one game gives us a better chance than Baker. I don't know by how much. But again, I think it's more a referendum about the draft, Key, from a standpoint – I would have Jameis Winston and Mitch Trubisky as the first two quarterbacks off the board this year. I think Pittsburgh got the best quarterback they could get, and that's why I think Jimmy G is going to be in demand, and I would take him over Baker Mayfield.
Mm. You think, you said you can't win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield. You believe you can with Jimmy G.
Well, we saw that. I mean, it was 1 yard away. I mean, if he hits Emmanuel Sanders, they're the champion.
Right. I totally agree.
I mean,
then he went back to the NFC Championship game. Right. Next time he's healthy.
And if Jarski Tark catches a punt that Matt Stafford threw, you know, we wouldn't be hearing Dan Orlovsky talk every 10 seconds about the great Matt Stafford.
The Falcons are interested in Deshaun Watson, reportedly, right? You said something interesting yesterday about why that might be, Mike.
I think they're trying to drive the price up for Carolina and for New Orleans. They would have a $55 million cap hit if they would move on from Matt Ryan. They just redid his contract. So I think it'd be really, really – I think it's a real heavy lift to see that happen.
Yeah, but when you say drive up the price, why would Carolina or New Orleans care about what Atlanta – is doing? Because let's say, for instance, we're having these discussions, Mike, in our boardroom, and we're sitting there and we're saying Carolina's willing to give up 3 first rounders and Christian McCaffrey, and New Orleans is willing to give up 3 first rounders and Alvin Kamara plus Michael Thomas, like all of these sort of things, and Atlanta says we'll give up everything. You know what we would do then is let Atlanta do it, because we're only going to give you what we think he's worth.
Key, I see that differently because once we're in that bunker and we got to go a chance to get Deshaun Watson and solve our quarterback problems for the next 10, 15 years, assuming the civil lawsuits are all settled, I don't think you could overpay greatness. And I think Deshaun Watson is great. And if I have to throw in an extra second or another really good player, we just saw that Seattle and Denver, right? They threw in, you know, Drew Lock. We threw in Noah Fant. They threw in Shelby Harris.
You know what it is, guys? It's surge pricing. If you order an Uber or a Lyft, and they're, you know, it's just supply and demand. You don't want to pay that, but if you need to get from point A to point B and everyone's bidding, basically, or there are not enough drivers, there's surge pricing. And, Key, this would be surge pricing attempt by the Atlanta Falcons to ring a few extra.
I share my ride, Max.
Mike, have you ever been in a situation where you've been in the bunker and there's been an opportunity to get somebody and you feel like you've gotten pressed where you give a little bit more up than what you should have?
Yeah, absolutely. But before we get to that, Key said he would share his Uber. Would Key share his plane? I'm just asking.
Ride sharing. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. You know, absolutely. I remember when we tried to trade for Tim Tebow, Jay Will, and there was a number of teams that were involved and we kind of felt like, oh, it's going up a little bit more than we want to. And there's been more than one time where, even like with Brett Favre, we knew we were competing against Tampa Bay, and you know that price kept going up, and we're like, it's Brett Favre. You know, like, we're going to overpay here, but he gives a real chance to win. Mm.
All right, Mike Tannenbaum, you got to come back, and you have a little more time today, right? What are you doing? Come on, you're here. You might as well come back.
You have a little more time. Okay, come on. What are you doing?
Because we got to get back to the big story of the day, which is Kyrie Irving giving him 60 and getting pulled with how much time was left?
8 minutes.
Eight minutes left, where given the way he was playing, he hadn't even gotten into his full bag yet. Like, he was just like, this is coming easy. Bop from outside, you know, a little layup, a little mid-range. He hadn't even gotten into his real Kyrie bag. He could have easily gone for 80. But it may not have even been the best performance of the month. The NBA is out of control right now. That's next. KJM on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Sit tight. We'll be back in a second.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.